You know, throughout this week, we're taking a closer look at a recent report card on our environment. Hei Lono Moku means island update. The Hawaii Community Foundation funded the report, and this is the third review to date. COVID-19 has certainly made us rethink our paradigm. It's been a tough year, but this crisis has certainly made us grateful for what we do have. Our weather, for one. Climate change is still in play, but this year we have been blessed with milder weather patterns than we've had in recent years. No massive coral bleaching, just some paling. Retired NOAA scientist Jeff Polavina's backyard is the windward side of Oahu. We start there.
I haven't seen as much bleaching in Lanikai. I think all linked to the trade winds. And this summer, our trade winds were fairly consistent, so it kept the air temperatures, you know, within range, normal range. We didn't have those extremes that we did in 2019 or in 2015. And the ocean temperatures, likewise, were not extreme because of the evaporation from the trades and some of the mixing. So the bleaching, while it was occurring in Kailua and Lanikai, it wasn't the levels that we saw, as you mentioned, back in 2019 and 2015.
Yeah, because earlier this year, they said, oh, just the slightest hints of paling. But we've really had good weather.
Yeah, but of course, it used to be that bleaching was an unheard of event. I mean, the first bleaching was probably with the El Nino of 97-98, and then we probably went another decade or so until we started to see a bleaching event, probably, you know, in 2000. And then starting in 2014, 2015, 2019, we saw a whole series of annual bleaching events. So, you know, there'll be year-to-year variability, but the trend is it's just we're seeing more bleaching events.
Well, talk about our climate, because with COVID, it shut a number of our favorite recreational places down, which is a good thing because, you know, Mother Nature is being allowed to heal in areas that have just been traditionally overused because of so many tourists coming in, you know, whether you live in Maui, the Big Island, or here on Oahu.
Certainly the reduced number of visitors has been beneficial to the nearshore habitat, the reef and the beaches and our hiking trails, probably resulting also in less water usage and less electricity usage. But, you know, there's a downside to the attention that's been spent focusing on COVID, both locally and nationally and globally, and that is it's sort of taken the attention off of climate change. Even though we've had to deal with COVID impacts, our CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere have continued to increase. The pH in the ocean has continued to decline. The heat content in the ocean is steadily rising. So these are underlying changes that are ongoing. It just so happened that in 2019 in Hawaii, we didn't feel as much of the impacts because our trade winds were stronger, so we didn't have all those extreme temperature records that we had last year. We didn't see all the bleaching that we saw last year. We didn't have as many hurricanes in the eastern Pacific, again, because temperatures were cooler there. But, of course, on the mainland, you know, they face the impacts of climate change in terms of, you know, incredible areas of wildfires and unprecedented numbers of storms in the Gulf and the Atlantic Ocean. So, you know, the conditions are still changing due to climate change. Hawaii, perhaps, is most vulnerable to sea level rise, and sea level rise has not only been continuing, but it's been the rate at which it's rising has increased. It's projected that Hawaii will face economic impacts due to sea level rise in terms of impacts to infrastructure and property of about $20 billion by the end of the century. So over the next 80 years, the costs would be equivalent roughly to two more Honolulu rail projects that would have to deal with, which impacts, you know, the taxpayers and the individuals. And that's based on current projections of sea level rise. But sea level rise keeps increasing, or the rate of it keeps increasing. In the past 5 years, sea level rise has increased about 20% faster than in the previous 5 years, as more ice melts and the ocean continues to warm.
What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge going forward as we work our way through this COVID crisis?
I think, you know, Hawaii's biggest challenge, of course, is facing probably the rising sea levels, which mean, you know, infrastructure has to be there has to be a focus on how to respond to sea level rise's impacts on property and infrastructure, and its temperatures are going to continue to rise. Summer temperatures are going to result in some public health issues of heat stress and heat stroke, which impacts farm workers, construction workers, sporting events during the day. So those two, sea level rise and rising summer temperatures, seem to be some of the most imminent issues that the state of Hawaii would have to address.
What kind of impact do you think the economic crisis is going to have on our ability to respond to climate change?
Yeah, the impact that we've had already from the coronavirus situation has left individuals, the state, and the national government, the federal government, all taking on more debt. And so not only has the attention been switched from climate change to dealing with COVID, but now our resource base of funding to move the economy on to more renewable energy, away from fossil fuels, the available funding is just not there from government sources or even individual sources.
Can you talk about the global politics as well?
Well, I think, as the COVID situation pointed out, this climate change is also a global issue, and it's going to require global coordination. Certainly, being part of the Paris Accord is really important, and being able to work in a global environment to address it on a global scale is really necessary.
So if we're in conflict with our allies, that's not a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing. I think we want cooperation and collaboration in addressing it, and the ability of everyone to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. And there's a battle over trade issues, then people aren't going to be as willing to come to the table and make sacrifices in other areas, for sure.
Is there anything else about sustainability that you think COVID has taught us?
Well, certainly from the island perspective, it's reminded us that now that we've seen what the island's been like with fewer visitors, it raises the whole issue of what kind of visitor industry do we want, and how large an industry do we want, and to balance it with the carrying capacity of the islands and our local resources. The challenge is going to be trying to move forward and not just return back to the way we were with as many visitors as we had while we're dealing with other issues like climate change.
Anything else that you think would be important to underscore, now that we have this environmental report and how we can use it to guide our way through this?
Well, the hard part is really to identify then, how we are going to move forward. We see the issues that have been raised, but finding solutions and legislative willpower is going to be the challenge. I haven't really heard about, of an option or a proposal as to how to move us off the tourist visitor industry in a way that provides economic impact. So I think that even though there's this desire, the roadmap is still lacking.
That was part of a conversation that we had with retired NOAA scientist Jeff Polavina, talking about the state of our environment and what we need to keep in mind as we think about the resiliency of our island communities going forward. Coming up in the next hour, we're learning about Hawaii's native birds. We're excited to bring you a new weekly feature. It's called Manu Minute. It's some bird song, some science, all in a minute.